Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. Well, loyal Razzball listener, I've got some good news and some bad news. Let's start with the bad news. This is the last baseball podcast until our end of season spectacular at the end of September. Now for some good news. This is the last podcast till the end of the month. Bad news. Your team is totally out of it for this year. Good news. JB will join me today to mock the first couple of rounds for next year. Bad news. JB will probably take a pitcher, number one overall. Good news. There's a killer end-of-season contest over at DraftKings.com for Razzballers only, and we'll tell you about it. Bad news. JB forgot to bring breakfast biscuits to the mock draft. Good news. I didn't forget to bring the Canadian whiskey. From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Baseball Podcast, Mock Draft Edition, for the week of September the 3rd. Here we go. And I am happy to welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast, Mr. JB Gilpin on Twitter at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N, JB. Welcome to the final Razzball Baseball Podcast of the regular season.
Hey, it's good to be here. Glad to be on the bookend episode. So when everyone's jonesing for some off season, they're going to be listening to this one over and over on repeat.
Yeah, I could see that. Although, you know what might happen since we're going to do a mock draft today? We might actually listen back to this at the start of next year just to make fun of our selections.
Alfonso Soriano, he's a top 20 hitter right now. I think you got to take him in the first round.
Hey, and the reason why we're wrapping it up now till the end of season show is because last September, nobody listened. I think they were all in football mode.
If a mock draft happens on a podcast and no one listens, does the mock draft happen?
Oh, no, people are still listening this week. It's next week that are totally tuned out. Kids are back in school, football's going on, you know, people are on DraftKings, getting ready for the million-dollar kickoff on the football side.
It's a busy time of year.
Cross-promotion. Hey, JB, who's gonna pick first here between you and I? You want to flip a coin? What do you think?
Sure, but it can't be a Canadian coin. I don't trust them.
Oh, God, JB, enough with the Canadian jokes.
I'm sorry.
I tell you what. You hold back on the Canadian jokes, and I'll hold back on your movie school degree jokes, okay?
Yeah, but mine are funnier.
Not debatable. Hey,
ironically, I reached for a coin, and I have a 10-cent euro piece.
Okay. Would you like to flip it? It's worth about 0.53 cents right now.
I would. All right. So what side would you want? Do you want the heads that looks like some sort of queen or something, or do you want the side that says 10?
Give me the tail. Give me the beaver tail. I want tails. Flip it.
I don't know what heads or tails is on that.
The one that isn't the head, buddy.
Well, which one is tails out of those? The 10? Whatever. All right, flipped it, and we got tails. So you're first.
All right. With the first overall pick in the 2014 draft, the ghosts of the Expos select from the Detroit Tigers, Miguel Cabrera. How could you not take Miguel, number one overall? I love Trout. Love Trout. Love him. Statistically, he's having a better year, not for fantasy, but for baseball, a better year in his sophomore year than as a rookie. He's an elite talent, but give me those Popeye forearms, those 35 to 40 homers, the 330 average, the 1 billion RBIs. Give me Mickey.
You know, I'm glad you took him because I would have taken Trout first. I think Cabrera is a better pure hitter, but these lingering injuries, you know, he's a beefy dude. I don't know. I could see Miguel having some, you know, some injury lulls next year. I'm going to take Trout. I would have taken Trout first. I'll take him second.
Okay. Just quick on Cabrera. He is a beefy dude, no question, but he's only 30 years old. If he was 38 and beefy, then I'd share your concern. But next year, I'm still taking Cabrera. Mike Trout, number two, hard to argue. The only things I worry about for Mike Trout is that lineup, because a big key with Trout, you know, the underrated runs category, obviously he's very good there. I think that whole Angels team is a mess lineup-wise. I think they're going to be eating those Hamilton and Pujols contracts for a long time. I don't know. I love Trout, but I just think give me Cabrera.
I think those guys could turn it around next year. I'm not going to, you know, reach for them and draft them in fantasy, but I think they could, you know, be a little bit more solid. Pujols, if his foot heals up, I'm not as worried about that.
All right. I am up with the third pick overall in the Razzball mock draft, and I'll tell you who I'm kind of sifting through right here. And this is where it gets a bit tough for me, because I really like Bryce Harper a lot, but I just worry with the fervor of which he plays baseball that he's going to run into a wall or 12. It's a real concern for me. Love Cargo. Love Cargo. I think Cargo, actually, Carlos Gonzalez, might be the most actually underrated elite fantasy baseball player. But again, gets banged up. And Andrew McCutchen. And I tell you what, I'm going third overall with Andrew McCutchen based on the fact that I think he'll play every day. And I think the Pirates are getting better. And I think he's just entering his prime. So third overall, I'm going McCutch.
Yeah, I like that. He would have been maybe not this next pick, but pretty close. So, where am I going to go? For my fourth pick, I think I might go, I think I'm going to go Goldschmidt. I think I'm going to reach a little bit.
Wow.
I like the steals. I was down on them this year and got very proved wrong. But high average hits home runs, going to get 15 steals. Hits in Arizona in that desert. I like him a little bit more because of the little boost in steals and the regression coming for Chris Davis. So I'd barely take him over Chris Davis, but it's those.
That's really interesting. And you know what? I think this is what's, and we'll see how it evolves over the winter, but there's a lot of questions here for me, because think of who you would have targeted possibly, let's say, well, I'll just say in the first round, going into this year, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Braun would have been in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Where does Braun go now? Matt Kemp would have been in the conversation. Where does Kemp go now? Justin Upton would have been in the conversation. Where does he go now? Giancarlo Stanton would have gone in the first. Where does he go now? So I'm going to go with the fifth pick, and this is something I wouldn't normally do. This is a little off the board for me, but just because I don't love anybody else, and power is such a commodity now, I'm actually going to take Chris Davis fifth overall, and it's because of, I just think even with the regression, I'm probably going to get 162 games out of him, and I might get 110 to 130 out of Harper and Cargo. So I kind of feel, even with the regression, I'm taking the safer pick with Chris Davis.
I like that, and I'm gonna follow suit with your safe pick, and I'll take Cano. Just always consistent, always a first-round pick, gives you first-round value at a tough position. That's where I'm going to go.
Interesting you do that, and I'll tell you why. For me, I throw positions out of the window in the first couple rounds. I don't care if he's the most elite, and he's the only one at that position. Because to me, I can always find, especially where you have kind of thinning out, you know, at the middle infield, at catcher, I can always find someone to be useful there. So for me, especially in the first two, three, four, even fifth rounds, position doesn't matter. At least that's my approach on it. I know some people are religious.
I tend to agree. I think league format comes into that a lot. If you're playing in a league that has middle infield and it's a lot deeper, it becomes more valuable. But if you're in a 10 team that doesn't have middle infield, it's a lot easier to fill out those positions with, you know, just guys.
I am going now at the seventh pick in the 2014 draft. I'm going to pick up Carlos Gonzalez. I'd be very happy about that. I'm going to budget that he's probably going to miss 20 games at least. But at the seventh overall pick, I'll take Cargo. Ahead of Stanton, who's in the conversation for me, Adam Jones. But I'm going to go Cargo, seventh overall.
I like it. I'll buy it. All right.
That's right. You're buying it.
Seven picks in. Ugh, I'm trying to think of who's left that I want to go for.
Who's left?
Yeah, the player pool is really thinning out right now. It's all sleeper picks at this point. let's see. You know, he's been doing good this year. It might be a little high. He's ranked high. Maybe I'm just looking at overall player performance at this point. But I'll take Adam Jones. Great offense. Really consistent guy, going to give you some speed.
Very consistent.
Score 100 runs, hit close to 300. I think he's deserving of first-round value next year.
I agree with you. I just think, for me, I can't leave Stanton, Harper, and the guy who I'm actually going to pick here at 9, Ryan Braun on the board. Ahead of Adam Jones.
That's what I was going to take next.
Well, here's my thoughts with Braun. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes next year. Because there's been a lot of talk with everything that came out this year with his suspension. And look, it's all you know, in the ether. So who knows what's real and what isn't. But it's been suggested possibly, I want to be careful here, but maybe possibly he's used PEDs forever. So what would he be clean? I still think Ryan Braun, whatever he has to do legitimately and legally to come back next year and prove people wrong, I think he's going to be super motivated. I don't know what his baseline is anymore, but at the ninth pick, I'll gamble Ryan Braun.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's bottom end of the first round. As a Brewers fan, I don't think he's been taking all the time. I think he's been taken here and there because he has so many nagging injuries, and that's kind of what scares me and doesn't want me to pick him, you know, before where he did, is those nagging injuries. You know, you're going to miss, you know, 15 games even if he doesn't go on the DL because he's getting benched. So I think I've got my next pick. You're talking about power as a premium. He's a guy I think people might sleep a little bit on, and that's E5. Give me Encarnacion. 35 home runs this year, hitting 275.
Wow.
I mean, I'll take that. And he's can play first or third. I know you're throwing positions out.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
Dude, he's hit 35 homers. He's going to do that again next year.
I understand, but you're taking Edwin Encarnacion ahead of Harper, ahead of Stanton.
Yeah, hurt all the time. And it's the first round. I'm not going to lose my league because Bryce Harper is going to run face first into a wall and get decapitated, or Stanton's going to get walked two times a game, or his leg's going to fall off in the outfield. I'll take safety this early.
Okay. Well, I will happily take Stanton with the 11th pick in the first round. I think the Marlins are going to be much improved next year. I think he's going to come back and be healthy. And I also think there's a chance he might be traded next year. And pretty much, unless he goes to Oakland, which is unlikely, he's going to go to a better hitter's park. So I will happily take Stanton at 11.
All right. Seems a little high, but all right, I'm going to switch it up, and I'm going to take him where I hope to get him around next year. I'm going to go Kershaw. I'm going to go high with the pitcher.
Wow. I joked in the intro you would take a pitcher first overall, but I didn't project one going in the first round.
Who else would I have taken first overall?
I was joking. All right, let me recap the first round. Cabrera went number one. Trout, number two. McCutchen, number three. Goldschmidt, number four. Chris Davis, number five. Number six was Cano. Number seven was Cargo. Number eight was Adam Jones. Nine was Braun. 10 was Encarnacion, 11 was Stanton. Kershaw, 12th overall. That wraps up the first round. We'll be back with the second round right after this.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter, at DraftKings. You can also follow my man, Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, JB Gilpin, at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. He is the Daily Fantasy Correspondent. And JB, this is the last Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, courtesy of DraftKings, this Friday. This is a big, big contest. They've opened it up. There's more money at stake. We are going all in this week. Your post comes up Wednesday, Friday night, Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. So here's your weekend. Let me just paint you a picture. Thursday night, you watch football. Friday night, you go to DraftKings.com, clicking the link through Razzball, Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, win a lot of money. Saturday, you go blow that money. Sunday, you watch more football. How does that sound, JB?
Sounds good, except for Sunday for you is going to be like David Wilson, 10 yards on 15 carries.
Okay. Anyway, enough football. But listen, it really is, guys. We are going out with a bang. There is a lot of money on the table. It's $10 to get in this week and Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. You do not want to miss this. Rudy has not won all season. JB has not won all season. I have not won all season. So you are kicking our collective asses. But again, a lot of money on the table this week.
Yeah, but I beat you guys at least. I get the money sometimes, but I haven't gotten first place. But first place this week, $300.
Yeah.
No strings attached. No ticket. That's the big prize.
Yeah. So don't miss it. Post goes up Wednesday. Hey, JB, can you get us that link like today? Can you make that happen?
I can. They've got to generate the contest, but if I could, I would. But there's some good people out there. I think this is going to be a really high-scoring week. There's so many good pitchers out there with good upside. Garza is a good guy I like. You know, you got Alex Cobb versus Iwakuma pitching at Safeco. You got Mike Minor versus terrible Phillies. Just tons of good strikeout pitchers out there. It's I think top scoring is going to be, you know, 150s to 160s, and that's pretty high.
This Friday night, the last Play with Rudy from Razzball contest of the season over at DraftKings.com. Your leader in daily fantasy. Well, leader of whatever. There's no one else. You got to go to DraftKings. If you don't, you're stupid.
The Razzball Podcast.
Let us continue with the second round of the 2014 mock draft. You took Kershaw at 12. So with the first pick in the second round, I got to go Bryce Harper. And you know what? I think there's a chance he could run into a wall 3 times next year. But also, there's a chance that Bryce Harper could go 41-40 with a boatload of runs. Plus, he's fun to watch. So
40 steals?
No. 40 homers.
Oh, I thought you said 40 and 40. I was like, what?
No, sorry. 41-40. Listen, if he hits 40 home runs and drives in 140 runs next year, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. That's getting crazy. I would be surprised. That lineup around him is... He's not going to get 140 RBIs.
You just took Kershaw, okay?
Yeah.
You took Kershaw.
He's having a historically great season, and he's going to be pitching for one of the best offenses in the ML. I don't see how you could take Harper this high and, you know, get mad at my Kershaw pick. Whatever. I'm going with Joey Votto next.
Give me bats.
I'm going safe again.
You took Joey Votto?
Yeah.
Man, I like Votto. I like Votto for a big bounce back next year. Not that he had an off year, but the ribbies weren't there. I like Joey Votto for a bounce back.
He's just been walked too many times.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the word on the street is he's taken too many walks. But I love Joey Votto. I mean, he's just a pure hitter. I'd be very happy to get him. You know, so, okay, you took him second pick. So... If I had, let's say, the 11th overall pick where I took Stanton, and then I, you know, at the turn, or the second pick in the second round, I got Votto, and I started my team with Stanton and Votto, I'd be very happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now here's where it gets a bit tougher for me. Because there's guys here I like. You know, obviously I like, I actually like Machado. I'm not taking Machado this high, but I like Machado a lot. Fielder is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Tulowitzki, but I always worry about the injuries. He's a guy, he's not sexy, He does it every year, and he plays third base, which, again, not a priority for me. But I'm going to take David Wright with the third pick in the second.
Really? I thought you were talking about a different third baseman.
Wow. Let's see who you pick next.
I'll take Beltre.
Wow.
He's the same boat. Does it every year. High average. I think him and Wright are neck and neck, but I'd rather have Beltre. I think he's got a little bit more power. Obviously, better lineup around him, better park.
But he's so old.
Yeah, but these guys are going to be fine.
Wow, you've gone off the board twice.
Yeah, you're taking this like high risk, high reward so early in the draft. Give me safety to build around.
I disagree. I think Texas's lineup has holes throughout. I think Beltre. Yeah, listen, I know. Yeah, it's hard to knock Beltre. Beltre is one of those consistent guys that isn't sexy. I understand. Okay.
I'd rather take major league holes than double-A fill-ins, which is what the Mets lineup is.
Wow. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, that puts me on the board with the sixth pick overall. And I am actually going to go with a pitcher who I would not normally go this high, but I like Yu Darvish a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Yu Darvish's strikeout numbers. And if it's not Kershaw for me, it's Darvish this high. And that's it for pitchers this
high.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I would have taken Darvish in a few picks if you hadn't have. I think they're the clear 1-2 guys. So, I buy that.
All right, good stuff. You now have the 7th pick overall in the second round.
I'm running out of people I like here. I'm probably going to pick someone you picked already by now. I'm picking old, reliable, boring, down year this year, but I don't really see anyone else I like looking at all the people I'm looking at. So I'll go Prince Fielder.
You know what? That's who I would have taken with my next pick if you didn't take him. Good offense, good lineup, in his prime. You know, you were knocking Miggy's weight earlier. Fielder's the guy I'm more concerned with weight-wise. First base isn't deep anymore. So I got no problem with you taking Fielder there.
Yeah, well, I mean, my issues with it is just the Miguel Cabrera 1 or 2 with his weight and all that. Now we're going all the way down to Fielder. And Fielder plays every day, despite his weight. And we've seen Cabrera have a bunch of days off this year because of he, like, strained his hip at one point, and he's had little tiny dinks. I mean, yeah, he still played almost every day, but Prince is playing every day.
All right. I am going here for pure upside. I don't like this pick. This is a pick where if I'm picking at 8, it means I picked, 5th in the first round. So, you know, that's where I would have got a McCutcheon, a Chris Davis, someone like that. So I'm going to roll the dice here, and I'm going to take Matt Kemp with the 8th pick in the second round, and I'm going to be nervous about it, and I might regret it, but if it comes through, it could be really good. Really, it could be a good pick.
I buy that. I like that. I probably wouldn't have taken him quite this early, but around here for the upside's fine. Now, if you'd taken him in the first round, that'd be a different story. I'm going to go with a guy that's between two guys for me right now, and I think it's just surprising how good of a year he has, and steals are down across the majors. I still think he has 15 home run upside, going to score 100 runs, hit close to 300. Give me Ellsbury.
Wow, interesting. So 9th overall in the second round, you're going Jacoby Ellsbury. Yeah, listen, it's tough for me to be drafting steals that late, but he does give you a well-rounded game. Not who I'd pick, but I understand why you did it. I won't hold it against you.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think the power comes back a little bit stronger, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. I could see that.
Well, I will happily then, with the 10th pick in the second round, take Troy Tulowitzki, and I will budget 20 or 30 games lost due to injury. But when he's healthy, when he's right, he's elite.
Yeah, I like that. I don't usually end up with Tulowitzki on all my teams just because of those injuries, but tough to dispute that. All right, time for me to pick one of my favorite players, probably my favorite player in the majors. Give me the real cargo.
No way. Come
on. Carlos Gomez.
Are you doing this for serious?
Yeah.
What's going on here? 11th in the second round, you're taking Carlos Gomez?
Yep. He's been awesome this year. And I think that what he's doing this year, he can do it next year.
Okay. Look, you know what? Here's the thing. The guys that I'm staring at who should go around here, Justin Upton, I'm concerned with. Jay Bruce, eh. Hanley, eh. Evan Longoria, you know, just do it. He is what he is now. So, I think it's just because of lack of better options. But still, okay, what does he do next year? What's Carlos Gomez's line in 2014?
I'm going straight off his line. I'm not going straight off his line. I'm just saying I'm looking at his line this year. And for next year, give me 80 runs, 22 homers, 70 RBIs.
See, I'm not picking that.
37 steals, 280.
What I will pick with the last pick in the second round, and you can mock me off this one, but this is my big breakout for next year. All those doubles, not all of them, a lot of those doubles could turn into homers. Manny Machado.
Yeah.
2 points.
Actually, thinking about it now, I kind of wish I had taken him a little bit earlier. That's a good pick. He kind of fell.
Well, who'd you rather have next year, Machado or Carlos Gomez?
I think it kind of depends on team composition, but now rethinking it, I should have taken Machado. I didn't have him on my radar yet, just because it's tough when you don't have a ranking up.
Yeah. I wanted to take Machado over Tulowitzki, but I went with more established. But at 2.10, I really considered Machado. And then even at 2.8, where I took Kemp, I also thought of Machado there too. Mm-hmm. So if you told me in a one-year league, never mind keeper or dynasty, but in a one-year league that you wanted Machado at the beginning of the second round, there's risk. You know, that's where Bryce Harper was going this year, beginning of the second round. But I like Machado's game a lot.
I agree, and I should have picked him there too. I'm slow. I don't have rankings in front of me. It's tough when you're looking at, you know, different lists of people performing this year and ADPs from last year. It's tough to come up with you're going to get.
That's why you should have come prepared, my man. All right, let us continue. Let's get through one more round here, JB. You have the first pick in the third round. Who are you taking?
Am I on the clock already? I'm running out of people. You know, I this is kind of I'm panicky, but I'll go Jason Kipnis. Put together a really good year this year. Might be a little early for him, but just looking around again, you know, a guy that's going to go 20-25 and hit, you know, 290 second base. Yeah, I don't mind it here.
You know what? Not only do I not mind it, that's who I would have picked if I had if you'd left him there. I would have taken him off the board next. And the reason is that at some point, you know, it's funny. I'm talking about, I don't like position scarcity. But you know, I'm picking the Tulowitzkis and the Kipnises. At some point, it just becomes this is what he is. And even if the stats don't necessarily, you know, the deeper stats don't necessarily show it, I understand. I understand why you take Kipnis there. I don't know. I like him. I've come around on him. I'll say that.
Cool.
Second pick in the third round. This is where it gets tough, real tough for me, because now I'm staring at guys I don't really want. Okay, so, but at the same time, it's too early to start reaching for guys who I think could have upside. You know who I actually kind of want here? And you're going to laugh at me, but it's too early. And I look, it's never too early. You take who you want when you want. I kind of actually would like to draft Dominic Brown here.
Whoa.
And if I won't. I know. I'm just saying. And I also kind of want, if I didn't have a pitcher yet, I'd really look at Adam Wainwright here. I think Wainwright might be one of the most underrated starting pitchers in baseball. But I'm going to go for power. And with the second pick overall in the third round, I'm taking Jay Bruce.
Wow. Okay. I buy that. I'm pretty sure this guy hasn't been picked. Feel free to yell at me and mock me because I'm not writing stuff down. But we haven't picked Justin Upton yet, have we?
We have not.
I'm going him. I think if you're looking for power, I'd take him over Bruce. You know, he's obviously had a very polarizing up and down year, but his average is up to 266, and in this day and age, that's not terrible. It's not going to kill you. You know, he still has that 300 average possibility. Still has got, you know, 35 power upside. I'm not going to, you know, not going to bank on that, but for upside slash not a terrible floor, I'll take Upton. I think he fell a little bit.
And again, I'm talking about positions, but I'm going to take Buster Posey, fourth overall in the third round.
Yeah, he would have been my next pick, I think. It was between him and Upton for me.
But see, this is where we're at now. Now we're at the guys where this is like the shit zone. It's not the sexy first rounders anymore, but you're not in the fifth round where you might start looking for your upside guys or guys that you might pick around earlier because you got a feeling. Now it's these guys that are, you know, consistent. Maybe they were hot prospects coming up and you always expected more. So maybe you're like, eh, you know, the Longorias. But I'll take Posey because, again, I think I can go find a catcher at any point. But that catcher first base eligibility does come in handy when you're mixing and matching lineups, especially if you're really trying to catch up on games played at a position. I find that pretty handy. So, I know Gray would laugh at me. Rudy might not, but I'm taking Posey 3.4.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. Like I said, he was going to be my next pick. Oh, boy. This is getting tough. You know, this is going to be a guy that very uninteresting, kind of having a down year, but I think can get it back up next year. I just like that offense so much. I'll go Pedroia.
Yep, I hear that. I hear that.
Yeah, I think right around now, you know, very, very low floor. Doesn't have much of a ceiling anymore either, but, you know, could hit 100 RBIs, 100 runs, still hit 15 homers at a tough position. I'll take it.
Okay. Dustin Pedroia, fifth overall in the third round, which is going to leave me at sixth overall in the third round with Evan Longoria, who, again, in real baseball, you might take him top five overall because of that defense. But people forget, too, Tampa Bay is the worst hitter's park. It's atrocious. You know, if Evan Longoria was hitting in Texas or Toronto or even Houston, we might look at it differently. But I'll take him at 3.6.
I agree with that. I for some reason, thought he was picked already, but he's a guy I've never really liked that much, so I'm not really mad I missed him or anything. All right, you're going to yell at me, but you're just looking at the numbers, I think it's real. I'll go Segura. I think he's a real 40-steal, 300-hitter kind of guy.
I'm not yelling at you.
All right. I thought you were going to be like, oh, Brewers fan. Yeah.
Well, that is true, but... Okay, no, I'm okay with him at 3.7. And here's where I'm going to go now. 3.8, Adam Wainwright. People, when I'm putting a staff together, obviously I'm looking at strikeouts. Everybody is. But I'm really paying attention to whip. And if I can get one or two, you know, horses at the top of my rotation that are going to give me great whip, you know, one of the things I like to do is I really like to get a couple of high K relievers that I can fit in, because a lot of times for me, or the way I tend to have success, I don't have a deep hitter's bench, but I'll run a couple extra starting pitchers and I'll try and run two, sometimes three relievers in there who are going to give me amazing ratios. And when you actually, here's the thing I think people forget when they're looking at relievers. When you take a reliever's numbers and you actually look at wins per innings pitched, you're getting starters numbers there. Yeah, you're getting wins. So you're getting wins, you're getting great ratios, you're getting Ks, you're sacrificing a bench spot. So would I rather have a backup outfielder and try and sneak, you know, two or three extra homers or two or three extra steals, you know, maybe over a third of a season? Well, give me the extra 12 strikeouts and better whip and one or two wins, because I find those are harder to go and chase. So I don't know. I'm happy with a guy like Wainwright because he's going to keep my whip low. And like I said, for me, I like running with those relievers.
I hear you. Yeah, I buy all that. So, All right, here's a guy, again, another boring whatever, but I think the skills are all there. He has some injuries have plagued in the past year or two, but I'll go Bautista.
Yep.
Still has 40 home run upside for me. I think he's going to fall a little bit too far in drafts because people are going to look at his numbers and be like, eh, he's falling off a little bit, but I'm taking there. Man, he has 82 runs this year just because that Toronto offense.
I hear what you're saying. The only thing is I just see him starting to break down. I think I could see him having a year where you take him in the third round and you're pretty satisfied and you make a good argument, and I can't argue with what you're saying, but I could also see where he plays 30 games, and he, you know, he has hip surgery or back surgery.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has that injury risk to it, but he's a guy that, even at his age, and, you know, he's still got huge upside.
All right, here are a couple of guys, because now we're starting to get late here. Now we're going for the 10th pick in the third round. Here are a couple guys on my board still. I got Felix there. I'm not taking Felix because even though he's so consistent, and he plays in such a great pitcher's park, I just worry about him. I worry about I don't know. There's something about every year I'm waiting for Felix to break down, and he doesn't. So maybe I should take Felix there, but I'm not going to. Hanley's there, but Hanley's just frustrating to own. You know, I've been burned by him too many times. Here's a guy who I'm not going to take right now, but keep on your radar to continue his upward trend, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going strikeouts here. And this is normally in the third, fourth round where I take my first pitcher, and I'm going to gamble on Max Scherzer right now.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it's hard to argue with the year he's having, but I'm going to piggyback your pitcher pick, and I'm going to take Strasburg, who obviously, that huge upside. He's striking out tons of people. You're talking about whiff. He's got a 1.04 whiff. I mean, I know Scherzer's under one, but, you know, Strasburg has 6 wins. I mean, that's not going to happen next year. I'll take Strasburg. I think he's got more upside than Scherzer. I'd rather have him than Scherzer.
All right, and I'm going to wrap up the third round, and I don't want to pick him, but I'm going to take the chance that Hanley Ramirez might be slightly rejuvenated. And if I'm getting a shortstop who can give me late first round numbers at the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth, it's hard to argue with that.
Yep, I don't believe. So are we done after those three rounds, or are we doing the fourth round?
No, you know what? We're done for time-wise, but we'll take a minute here. We'll each throw out like one or two names of guys that we're high on next year. You got a guy off the top of your head?
Well, it's a guy I have never believed in, but I think will have been picked through these first three rounds just because people are crazy, and that's Puig. Someone's going to take him this early. You know someone will. It won't be me, but I'm just, you know, thinking about next year.
It'll be someone who's willing to throw out the knucklehead factor.
Mm-hmm. The other guy for me was a guy you brought up that neither of us ended up picking. That's Dominic Brown. I mean, He's having a great year. It's unreal to look at 27 homers and he has 68 runs on the year. I mean, that's just preposterous. There's just no one behind him. But he's the guy that's going to be kind of in that range and has that upside we've been talking about too in this around the 3-4 range.
Couple other guys here. Chris Sale. I don't think people realize how good his numbers are.
Nah, I love Chris Sale. He's one of my favorite pitchers. He's so fun to watch.
I think Shelby Miller might be able to avoid a sophomore slump. He's a special pitcher. I like Matt Moore a ton next year. I like how Tampa Bay develops their people, their pitchers. I think he'll eventually harness that control, and he could be disgusting. So those are three guys I also like. I'm also going to keep my eye on Cespedes, just based on talent. And then much later, and he's so maddening to own, but I think Jason Hayward is going to sink like a rock next year, and I could see him winding up on a lot of my teams.
Gotcha.
Oh, one more guy. Another guy, thinks going to have a big breakthrough.
All right.
Madison Bumgarner.
Pitcher-wise, I like above all those guys because the upside park pitches in ML. I mean, people might reach for him, but Jose Fernandez, man, it's just been Oh, I wrote a pitcher profile on his debut start, and I had some concerns. And
he's a freak.
He was, I think, a 4 ERA through the first couple months, and then all of a sudden just turned it on, and it just clicked. So
freak.
He's a guy that, you know, above those other pitchers. And a guy I like that's going to go really late that I think people will sleep on a little bit, that'll be a great, you know, third or fourth outfielder is Austin Jackson. Just love him hitting atop that all.
I hear you, but the counting stats aren't
there. I think they can be.
They're
I mean,
not. The, well, but they're not.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. I shut you up. JB, listen, we got to wrap this up, buddy. We got to get out of here. Don't forget, big DraftKings.com contest. Post goes up Wednesday at Razzball.com. Click the link. Big contest. Big money. Get in there. Last chance to kick our asses. JB, thanks for joining us on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.